The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophets Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So this past week, I had the great fortune to be in Atlanta at the IT Conference for Episcopal Laity and Clergy. There were 1,200 of my best Episcopal friends presenting on preaching and leadership and stewardship and Christian education and everything else you can imagine under the sun. It was the premier event, and the problem with preaching the Sunday after that is that I've come home with my head stuffed with ideas of how we can do ministry together, of what we're doing as a parish that works great and what we're doing that maybe we need to reframe or refocus, and where should I be pushing myself more as your rector on behalf of our community, and maybe where I should be pushing you more on behalf of the gospel. And all of that said, there was so much exciting stuff, and you're totally going to have to wait to hear all about it, because I want to focus on one thing today, one topic on this day of our annual meeting. And that is community. Today in the gospel, we see Jesus returning to Galilee right after John. Do you remember what we called him last week? The witness. Right after John, who witnesses to who Jesus is, has been arrested. So Jesus goes to Galilee, but the word actually in Greek for returning is flees. Jesus flees from where he is to Galilee. And what does he do the second he gets there? He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Great opening line. Gonna get a lot of followers with that. But yet, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," defines exactly what Jesus is about. Remember, the word repent means to turn. Turn from your ways that separate you from God. Turn from being focused on yourself and what you have to gain, and turn to those who need your help. Turn from sin to love. Turn from isolation and fear to community and joy. To make clear what he was saying, what it means to spread the love of God to those most in need, bringing them out of darkness into light, which you and I can have a long discussion about using those metaphors and the challenges they present in our society another time. I told you I came back with way too many ideas. But right as Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near," the next thing he does is Jesus goes and he calls two disciples, and then he calls two more. He calls them right out of their livelihood, right out of what sustained them in society. He calls them out of their comfort zone. He calls them to do something new and completely different. He calls them to follow him, Jesus, the Messiah, first and foremost. And in that call, it takes the lives of Simon called Peter and Andrew, and the lives of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and it turns their lives upside down. Everything they had ever known, everything they had ever expected, goes right out the window. But in the end, because we know the end of the story, right? In the end, they were the better for it. Their lives were changed. Their hearts were turned. And then, after Jesus has called these men, and there were probably some women with him, but we'll get to that another time, Jesus goes out, and without anybody looking at their bulletin, can you tell me what the last line of the gospel said? Yeah, because we're all totally into the calling of the disciples, right? That's what's familiar. But it's actually the crux of what Jesus is getting to. It says this: Jesus goes throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. He cured and he proclaimed and he taught. This is what Jesus has come to do. But they're missing, they cut out the second most important line, I think, because they cut it at Matthew 4:23. But if you were to open your Bible, the one sitting in front of you, and you were able to find Matthew 4:24, it would say that so Jesus' fame spread throughout all of Syria. And you don't want to know what Syria is? That's where the Jews aren't. That's where the Gentiles are. So his fame spread throughout Syria. And they brought him to, and they brought to him all the sick, including the Gentiles, and those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs and epileptics and paralytics, and he cured them. He came to the Syrians, to the Gentiles, to the Jews. The interesting thing is Jesus came to all of those people that if you and I were good, righteous, pious Jews living in the Galilee, the upstanding, hard-working, faithful people of God, we would not want to associate with any of those people that Jesus just went to. Jesus goes with his love. Jesus goes with his faith. Jesus goes with his call and with his message, and he gives it to the least of these, those who we would drive right by, those who we would say should have worked harder, those who should have studied when they were given the opportunity, those who should have made different decisions than the choices that they did. Jesus goes straight to those people, and he heals them. And he ministers to them. And he gives God's love to them and says, they are worthy of love and come into the community. Now, Jesus isn't saying by going to the least of these that the kingdom of God isn't for everyone, for the likes of you and me. But what Jesus is saying is that it really is for everyone. And if it's for everyone, then we need to go out and see where you and I and where St. Cross has work to do. But as we do this, you will likely hear me talk off and on about outreach. An outreach that traditionally is done in churches where we are doing versus outreach where we are actually in relationship. Because relationship builds community, and that is what the kingdom of heaven is, being one in community. The first kind of outreach is good, and it is needed, but what Jesus is calling us to do is to be in relationship with those who we help. And I don't know what it will look like for St. Cross. I know that we have seeds of it with Laundry Love, whereas every Wednesday when we do that and a client comes in, most of them, we know their name and their story. And we listen to what is going on in their lives, hopefully without judgment. But those people come and they know those of St. Cross who go regularly to Laundry Love and those who regularly go know the clientele, and they are in relationship together. And I wonder, how do we continue to build on that? I don't know what this community building will look like for St. Cross, but I am firm that our faith is calling us to be outside of these walls, to be in relationship with those who desperately need our help. To build community, not even worship, not even just inviting them into our church, but just to build community through faith with those who are around us, with those who we like and those who we don't like, and perhaps most importantly, with those who don't like us. We're called to build community with those who look like us and those who are completely different for any number of reasons you can list in your head. Because true community, God's community, and hopefully one day our community will encompass all whom we can encounter on our journey of faith through the love and the hope and the community of Jesus. Amen.